just say thank you in advance already for those kind cards and just the graciousness that you showed to Connie and I in so many ways. And we're again thankful to be ministering amongst you and with you, and not just amongst you, but with you. So we are teamed to work together and to share this glorious gospel. Take your Bibles this morning again and turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're working our way through the book in no hurry. Always, one of my favorite sayings I like to say is dig deep and produce a better crop. And that's what God wants us to do in the Word of God, is to dig deep and not just to walk through and just pick out parts of the Scripture that I like, or favorite parts of Scripture, or easy parts to preach on. But we want to walk through a book of the Bible and read it, just like the New Testament churches would have read it as they got it from one of the apostles and then pass it around. Picture, if you would, a very staunch Deepwater Baptist lady being encouraged and invited by her family to go to Las Vegas. You know that Las Vegas is often known as the gambling capital of the United States. Of course, a lot of people on the East Coast like to go to Jersey City. I haven't been to either one of them. And she went with her family. As a staunch good Baptist and not believing in gambling, she had no intentions of going into the casinos. Well, after she got out there, some of her family encouraged her, invited her, come on in, it won't hurt. Come on in and look, see what's going on, and participate with us. So against her better judgment, she decided to go on in into the casino. And when she got home, she began to relate this story to her friends and her family. And she was gathered with some people one day, and they asked her, so what did you do? Did you go into the casino? She said, yes, against my better judgment, I went on in. And they said to her, being a good Baptist, did you pray before you went in? And she said, no, I figured there was no use to going on to prayer. I figured that saying a prayer was no good because God wasn't going in there with me. We know from the Word of God that God goes everywhere with us. As a believer, as a Christian, as a born again follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit the very moment of our salvation, and He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And so we need not pray, Lord, will you go with me? We can pray, Lord, will you bless me? Lord, will you show yourself strong on my behalf? But we never need to say, Lord, come and be with me, except for that one time when we're saved. But we can ask His strength, His guidance, and His blessing. She was basically saying, I was going into a place that I didn't think God would want me to go into, or God wouldn't bless me in there anyway. So as we turn to the Word of God, we can know that we're never on our own. The born-again Christian never needs to tell themselves or to believe the lie of Satan that we are alone. Another way this lady said, I figured when I entered those doors, I was on my own. But there are times when Satan would want us to feel like we've been abandoned, like the Lord is not with us anymore. The Bible does tell us that one day, perhaps today, very soon, that this great event that believers from the time of the New Testament writings have been looking forward to. It's a day that we're going to go to be with the Lord. It's a day that their physical bodies will be transformed. It's a day that those who are asleep in Christ, those who have died in the Lord, will go and be with the Lord. Sometimes we hear at funerals, somebody will say, oh, well, you know, so-and-so is not suffering anymore. They've gone to be with the Lord. Only their spirit and soul is going to be with the Lord. No, they're not suffering anymore because the body isn't alive. The body is in decay. But it's waiting for the resurrection. It's waiting for the rapture. Some of the old timers used to call the rapture that great getting up day. This rapture is a day that Christians all across the world will call to be going with the Lord. There's nothing that needs to take place in God's prophetic calendar for the rapture to take place. The signs of that we find many times that Jesus talked about and that Revelation talks about is really talking about the second coming of Christ when he comes with the church to set up his kingdom. Then he comes at the end of the rapture. So for the rapture to take place, there's no signs that we can look for that point to it's imminent. It's any day, it's any moment. Its only thing that needs to take place is for the Father to say to the Son, go get your bride, go get the church. Now, some will look at us and say, well, hold on a little bit, preacher. Hold on a little bit, Baptist church. The word rapture never appears in the Bible. True. It does not. The word church building does not appear in the Bible. We have church buildings. The word pews don't appear in the Bible, but people don't get upset when we use them. But there are some folks that say, well, rapture is not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but the concept, the doctrine, the teaching of the rapture is definitely in the church. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But the teaching, the doctrine, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is all through the Bible. The word rapture comes from the Greek word harpazo, and it means the snatching away, the catching up, the carrying away. And it gives us this great hope as New Testament believers in the New Testament. The great hope for the Old Testament believers is that the Messiah was one day going to come. And God kept giving them prophecies about it's going to take place. It's going to be through this family. It's going to be in this city and these different things that was going to take place. And so that was a great hope for the Old Testament that God gave for them, that God's going to come and send the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer of the world. And ours is that we've been redeemed and we're waiting for our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand if you're able as we give honor and reverence to the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3, we're looking at the first four verses. And you say, Pastor, we looked at those last week. That's okay. There's a little bit more that we haven't got to. We're going to keep digging into this great well of salvation, the Word of God. And if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, this is verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. The hope that we have that he saves us now, and then the hope that we have that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the hope that we have that you, Father, will say to your Son, soon, very soon, go get your bride. And Father, I have my prayer and my desire and my hope is that each and every one in this room is ready for the rapture day, for the day that Jesus is coming, for his true followers. Then if there's anyone in here this day that doesn't know for sure that when Jesus comes, their name will be called. Is there anyone in this room today that they may be scared when they think about the rapture? Today that, Lord, you would change that scare, that fear, that fright into hope, into peace, into joy of knowing that we are to be preparing ourselves, waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. We thank you for that great getting up day, that great rapture day, that great resurrection day that's coming one day when we go to be with our Lord and Savior. We praise you. Bless us now in his name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we saw in verses 1 through 3 some of what the Lord would have us to doing and to be doing while we're living the Christian life. I say some because there's no one or two or three verses that gives us everything we're to be doing. A guy said years ago, If we spend all of our time doing the things that God says to do, we won't have any time to do all the things God said don't to do. And so we are to be busy doing what God said us to do. We talked about how God in our Christian life has changed us, and how one day we will be changed again. That major act, when the Lord comes, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a major change. And we're going to see some of that in some verses that we'll look at today. But I want us to look at four thoughts from this verse, and then four other scripture verses or portions of scripture that reaffirm, that confirm, that weave in together with this verse that we're looking at. There are great portions of scripture that give us this teaching of the rapture, the snatching, the catching up. As I was studying this week, I was amazed that one of the studies and some of the reading I was doing of some of major groups of people of denominations that don't believe in the rapture or don't teach it on any regular basis because they don't want people to get a false hope. They've bought into what the world philosophy says, and when the world says, well, you've been saying that for years and it hasn't happened, we don't want to give people a false hope, or we don't want to scare people. Well, that's not what it is. If it was good enough for New Testament believers 2,000 years ago, 21 centuries ago, for them to read it, certainly it's appropriate for us to read it and study it today. Now, let's look at five thoughts from this verse. First of all, this verse number four, let's look at it again. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. Five portions that I want us to break down. First of all, look at the portion. It says, when Christ. When Christ. Paul is writing, he says, when Christ. He does not say if. He does not say this might happen. This could, this is a possibility that we just kind of throw out there. No, he uses words that we understand. When Christ. But the Word of God just is so clear about this, and it gives us a certainty. We don't have to say, this, you know, this is just crazy. But it is a kind of a fascinating, or even we could use a word wow thing to think about. Think about the news on the day that happens. The news on the day after it happens. When things happen, the news, there's hundreds of stories happening every day, but some reason they tend to focus in on some particular story. I don't always know why. We don't know why, but they do that, and they're all jumping on the same story. I guess it's probably about money somewhere, isn't it? They don't want to miss something everybody else is doing. But this event, the rapture, when all these people disappear, and when people go down, if it happens on Saturday night, and Sunday morning they'll arrive at this church and there probably won't be any services. Many churches, there won't be any services. And the news is going to be giving all kinds of explanations. The Bible says when. It's a certainty this is going to happen. And then the Bible goes on in this verse and it says, when Christ... Who is your life? The next phrase is, who is your life? Why is Christ considered our life? He said he is our life because he has bought us with his blood. Because he sought us from death to life. As we were just singing that hymn, it talks about the shepherd, the Lord Jesus is, that came to get us the sheep that was wandering from the fold. And now, because he bought us, here's our life. And we looked at that last week, a little bit of that dynamic. Christ is our life, and everything about our life has to be filtered through our relationship with him. We don't have our Christian Sunday life, and then we have a separate life the rest of the week. We don't have our worship life, and then our work life is separate. No, the Word of God teaches over and over again that Christ is our life. He's given us eternal life. He's given us eternal hope. He's given us eternal purpose. He's given us a life direction. We are lost without him, but with him, I am found. I didn't find Christ. Christ found me. I wasn't Christ wasn't wondering and need to be found. I was wondering and need to be found. And then look at the next phrase. It goes on and gives us some more great assurance. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, he is coming. Only Christian believers will be able to see him, because God has given us new spiritual eyes to see him. He shall appear because the Father will send him, and he will appear in the clouds, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And he will appear because he wants us to be with him. Now think about that. Think about this. The one who created all things, the one who spoke everything into existence, desires for us to be in fellowship with him. Sure, he wants us to be in heaven with him. Think about that, Candy. He wants us, who have violated his law over and over again, he is desirous for us to be with him when Christ shall appear. He wants to be with us. Think about this. We live in a culture where it's a worldwide phenomenon. There's all kinds of celebrities. And people want to go out and see their favorite sports star, favorite writer, favorite preacher. I've had the privilege of going and hearing some great preachers of our day and time, some of the great ones. It's a great honor to be in their presence, to hear them, to be encouraged by them, to be corrected by them even, to be taught by them. I've had some signed books sometimes, not for me always, but as I would give them as gifts to someone else. It was encouragement to them and their walk with the Lord. And many of these sports stars and movie stars and music stars, they get paid a lot of money to come to do a signing somewhere. And it's not always they want to be there. They don't always love the fans as much as the fans love them. They're just there to pad the pocket sometimes. Not all of them. I'm not throwing them all in the same category. But many of them, it gets old having people flock them. And they're there only because they know it helps them financially. The fan wants to be with them, but they don't necessarily want to be with the fan. It will not be that way with the Lord Jesus. He wants to be with us. And we should be wanting every day and longing to be with him every day. And then the verse goes on and says, then we shall appear with him. It's reaffirming more and more. This will be great. This will be a new adventure for us. This will be a new start all over again. This will be a time of no looking back. How many times in this life, in this earth, have you and I, we've looked back? Am I the only one in here that's looked back with regret? Look back with disappointment and look back and say, I wish I would have done it this way. I wish I wouldn't have done it this way. I wish. We're going to get with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all this stuff of the earth is not going to matter anymore. It's going to be an amazing miracle how God's going to erase from us all of our memories of our hurts, of our disappointments, of our violations of people to us and us to other people. And God's going to work it all out in an amazing way that we're going to get along with everybody in heaven. We as Christians don't always get along with each other, do we? Church is split over the color of the carpet. But in heaven, it's not going to matter. We're all going to get along. We're all going to love in that perfect love. A new adventure, a new start. No looking back. And we will be with him. And look what the last phrase of this verse says. And it says, we shall appear. Then we shall appear with him in where? Glory. In glory. In glory, in everyday sunshines. There's not a cloud in glory. We're not just going to be floating around somewhere. We're not going to be some fairy tale pie in the sky, some mystical kind of thing. No, the Bible says we will be with him in glory, in the glorious home of his amazing grace, walking on streets of gold, eating from the tree of life forever. The fruit in its season. And all kinds of wonder. It won't matter if their pet's there or not. It won't matter if Fido's there or not. People question, am my pet going to heaven? I get so hung up on that. People write books on things like that. What difference does that make? What's more important is the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Are they, is my lost neighbor going to heaven? That's more important whether my cat and my dog is going to heaven. Huh? But look, we will appear with them in glory. Now let's look at four more truths. Now, this is something I want to encourage you to do, not commanding you, not telling you what you have to do, but encouraging you. If you don't mind writing in your Bible, there's most places in the Bible, in the front, there's a couple blank pages, or in the front or the back. I want to give you four other passages, not just, somebody might come along and say, well, Pastor, you're lifting this one verse to give the rapture. No, I want to give you four other passages that support the rapture of the church. And so you might want to write somewhere in your Bible, rapture of the church. The catching the way. The bridegroom and the bride meeting. It's all through the Bible. It's all through the New Testament. Let's go, first of all, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to give you some things that each one of these verses teaches, each one of these passages, portions of verses, knowing about the rapture, reading about the rapture, thinking about the rapture, what it does for us. Four more passages. I'm going a little bit longer here today, but I don't want to break this up. It's so important. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This is the letter of John. John writes a gospel narrative. He writes three letters, and he writes Revelation. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Some translations use a word I really like called lavish. It's like it's just painted all over us, poured out upon us. Upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It means the world doesn't know us in a spiritual manner like the Lord knows us. The world doesn't know us spiritually like we know one another. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, notice this word, appear, it's here twice in verse 2. The word appear was in their Colossians passages. But when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that haveth this hope in him, remember it says here again, this is our hope, in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So, first of all, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3 teaches the rapture. And when we think upon the rapture and we glory in the rapture and we're excited about the rapture, the Bible says it purifies us. Thinking about the rapture, it purifies us. Second of all, John, the gospel according to John, the gospel narrative of John, John chapter 14, a passage you're probably familiar with. You may have heard this one used in many funeral preachings and teachings, and it's a great passage. Jesus, in this context, is in the upper room with his disciples on the night that he would be betrayed, on the night that he instituted the Lord's Supper, and Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if, notice the other one said but, this one says if, those conjunctions, those connecting words. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It does not use the word I could, I might. It says I will. Verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. The Word of God teaches us in John chapter 4, there's going to be a day when he comes to take us to be with the Father in heaven. The Son is now working on the mansions, the adding to the Father's house, and the Father one day will say, Son, go get your bride from the earth and go catch her up and bring her here. And so in this place, we find two things. John chapter 14, 1 through 7, this calms us. Knowing that Jesus is going to come and all the trouble of the world. Jesus was giving the disciples in the upper room that night a lot of reason to be troubled. I'm going to be denied. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be away from you for a while. And they're all upset. And on a night that was supposed to be joyous celebration of the Passover, but he calms them and he says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away, but I'm coming back. But it also teaches here, this verse inspires us. If he's building a mansion for me and he's coming for me, I have reason to go and be inspired and work for him. Now let's look at another passage. And we're in overtime. I hope it's okay. It's football season. Overtime's okay. And the team up north doesn't play till 4 o'clock anyway. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Another passage of the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. I promise not to preach as long as Bernie did during big revival. You know how the preachers are, when we get somewhere else, we want to do a whole series in one night. So, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now the word sleep there is dying, to be dead in Christ. But we shall all be changed. Now one guy said this is his favorite verse to put in the nursery of the church. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Some of y'all get that on the way home. All right. That's not what it's talking about. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Somebody bat your eye. How quick was that? Gone. Change. He comes. So it's going to be so quick that you cannot say, I'll wait to see my loved one departed up with me, then I'll make my mind up. No. 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 In the twinkling of an eye. Some people are going to wake up and somebody's not going to be in the bed beside them. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. And this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible have put on incorruption, when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain to the Lord. And so he says in a moment in twinkling of an eye. And so what does this verse do? This portion of verses about the rapture is to inform us. Paul says at the beginning of what I read, I would not have you to be ignorant. Ignorant just means a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding and knowing the facts. And so they were communicating back and forth with Paul with letters, and some had already died, and Jesus hadn't come back yet, and they were saying, what about our loved ones that we buried? They didn't have a full biblical understanding yet. And Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep, who have died. Jesus Christ is going to lift them out of the grave first, and they will meet with their spirit that comes to the Lord. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord. Paul says, we who are alive and remain. So what did Paul believe and taught? That the rapture might happen in his day. And every generation of believers is to believe that and proclaim it, that Jesus might come today. I remember years ago seeing on TV, a guy had a lapel pin on it and said, perhaps today. And the host of the show said, what does that mean, perhaps today? Perhaps today what? He said, perhaps today Jesus is coming. Are you ready? And so the last one that we want to close with, I want today's message to be a message of encouragement for us that Jesus is coming. Sometimes a pastor's message is full of correction. Today I want it to be full of encouragement and a reminder that he's coming. But it's also a reminder that it's going to be too late for those if we don't tell them. Last passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, one of my favorite to use at the memorial service of a believer, 1 Thessalonians. It's a little bit right after Colossians where we've been looking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, just like he told the believers at Colossae, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He's not telling us don't be sorrowful when a believer dies. He just says we don't have the same sorrow like one who has no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's not, the body is not present with the Lord. The body is oftentimes before us in the casket. The body is placed in their family cemetery, our church cemeteries, or our public cemeteries. So what's he talking about will come? The spirit and soul of the person will come to, with them. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we are which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word prevent means to go before. Go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so we see this passage does the same thing that two other passages did. It informs us. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. And he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Listen, when times get hard, comfort one another. Yes, we're going through a trial. Yes, we're going through tribulation. Yes, it might get worse here in our world before the rapture. But be comforted. Jesus is coming. This then is coming. Are you ready? Jesus is going to split the clouds and come. He's going to hover in the clouds and Christians are going to be caught up. Are you ready? Are you ready? One of my favorite groups from years past was DeGarmo Key, and they did a song called Ready or Not. Ready or not, he's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. I implore you today, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Are you ready? Number two, are you longing for it? Are you longing for Jesus to come? I remember thinking as a teenager, yes, I want Jesus to come. Yes, I'm glad I'm saved, but I'd really like to get married first. Yes, I'm glad Jesus is coming, but I'd really like to have some children first. Yes, I'm glad he's coming, but boy, I'd like to have some grandchildren now. I'm glad he's coming. Because I want to see those grandchildren growing up. Now I'm saying, I want him to come real quick because I want him to take my grandchildren out of this mess that we see in our world. Are you longing for it? The Bible says there's a crown for the Christians who long for his coming. Long for his coming. Then lastly, perhaps most convictingly, are we telling others? Are we telling other people? The Bible calls us to be proclaimers of truth. The Bible tells us to be encouragers. The Bible also calls us Christians to warn people. Warning. He's coming. And if you're not ready, it will be perhaps too late. Father, thank you that you have a plan to come and get us. You have a plan to send us your son. Thank you that you gave us your Holy Spirit to comfort us
encourage us, correct us, and strengthen us. And Lord, take the Holy Spirit in our lives and cause the Holy Spirit to help us to long for the coming of Jesus. Lord, to help the Holy Spirit in our lives to be bold to tell others that He's coming, perhaps today, perhaps today. Lord, use this time of invitation to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here today that's not sure that Jesus were to come today, that they're going with to be with Him. That, Lord, they would come today and just say, Lord Jesus, save me. For my sin, give me the hope of everlasting life. Give me the reassurance of peace, of knowing that I'm going with You. I believe that You're God's Son, the Savior, who died for my every sin, that died for my wickedness, that I could be saved. And Lord, for us that are Christians, Lord, help this not just to be another message about the rapture. Help it to be a message that convicts us and encourages us and strengthens us and causes us to be used to tell others this wonderful, wonderful news. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. God spoke in your